Scripture reading tonight will come from Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the Red Pewback Bibles, that's page number 448. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
Sometimes it's kind of easy to forget that God sees things in black and white. He sees things in terms of sin and redemption, sin and goodness. God is holy. The Bible speaks about God not being able to be in the very presence of sin, Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And the Bible speaks very frequently about a choice that God gives mankind. When God gives mankind a choice, there are only two ways. You can accept his choice or you can go your own way. And the question before us this evening as we study Psalm 1, if you haven't already opened your Bibles there, please do so. The question before us is, which way will you go? As you look at Psalm 1, I want you to notice a couple features of this psalm. Notice in the first place that there is no title. There's no title for the psalm to show us who wrote this psalm. In a number of the psalms, there are 150 of them, it'll have the author in the title. So David wrote at least 75 of the psalms. The sons of Korah, the sons of Asaph wrote other psalms. Solomon and Moses wrote some other psalms. But when you look at Psalm 1, there's no human author named. Of course, God is the ultimate author of this psalm. He's the one that inspired it. But I also want you to notice this. As you look at Psalm 1, notice that it is what we call a wisdom psalm. A wisdom psalm. It's not really a prayer. It's not really a song in and of itself, but rather it's an explanation of the way life works, the way life is. So it's what we call a wisdom psalm. In fact, you could take Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly and so forth. You could take this psalm and you could put it at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, and it would be a really good introduction to that book. Or you could take this psalm, Psalm 1, and you could put it at the beginning of the Pentateuch, of Genesis through Deuteronomy, the first five books, the books of law, because it talks about a man who is blessed is one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. And so when you look at this psalm, it's a psalm of wisdom. And then I want you to notice this, as you look at the psalm, introduction, I want you to notice that the psalm is about contrasts. It's about one contrast, really. The way of the blessed man and the way of the wicked. That's really what the psalm deals with. In fact, it kind of breaks in half between verses 3 and 4. Verses 1 through 3 tell you about the blessed man, and verses 4 through 6 tell you about the wicked man or the ungodly man. Notice the first word in the psalm. The first word in the psalm is blessed. And notice the last word in the psalm. The last word in Psalm 1 in verse 6 is perish. There are only two ways, brothers and sisters and friends. There are only two ways you can live your life. You can live your life in such a way that you are blessed by God, or you can live your life in such a way that you will perish. There is no third option. And this psalm is challenging us to choose. Which way will you go in your life? Three observations. We're just going to take two verses at a time this evening. We're going to break the psalm down that way. We're going to think about that question. Which way will you go? Let's talk first of all about true blessedness, what it means to be really blessed. Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2 describes what that's like. What does it mean to be really, truly, deeply blessed? Describe it for me. The psalmist describes it two ways. In verse 1, he describes it in terms of a man being blessed because of what he avoids, what he stays away from. And then, on the other hand, in verse 2, he talks about a man being blessed because of what he loves and what he delights in. You see that? So what makes a person a blessed person? In the first place, it's what he chooses to avoid. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is a man who avoids these things. Brothers and sisters and friends, we have to intend to avoid some things. We have to decide that there are some things that want our attention and want our participation that are not healthy for us, that are not good for us. If we want true blessing from God, you've got to make that decision. Notice, I've got it in various colors up there on the screen. There are three triads, if you will. There is a man who walks and stands and sits. And many a commentator has noticed as they study Psalm 1 that there seems to be a progression going on here. That maybe first we walk with the counsel of sinners, and then we stand in a place where we are not supposed to be standing. And then ultimately we take our seat with those who are ungodly, those who are scornful. There seems to be something of a progression happening. But then notice as well in green, the counsel and the path and the seat. What is it that people are trying to get everybody to do? They're saying, we've got some advice for you. We've got some counsel for you. It's not from God. It's not from God's word. It's certainly not from the authority of God's word. But we want you to listen to us. And there are other people who want you to stand in their path. They want you to be counted among their number, standing in the path of sinners. And there are others who want you to take your seat with them. I've been watching lately some old 80s movies about high school, you know, misfits and things like that. There were a bunch of movies like that in the 80s. And it's funny because all those movies depict high school as being this stratified area where, you know, you've got certain people that sit at this table in the cafeteria and certain people that sit at that table in the cafeteria. And the idea here is that the people who are scoffers and mockers, they want you to sit at their table. They're inviting you. Hey, we've got a place for you. Come sit with us. Blessed is the man who does not sit with the scoffers. And then notice there at the end of the verse, ungodly, sinners, scornful, three different ways of describing sinful, wicked behaviors. People that have no regard for God and His word. And when you start talking about what a mocker is, a scornful person, somebody that holds God and His word in contempt. Did you know that it's even possible for members of the church to hold God and His word in contempt? That it's even possible for those of us who are New Testament Christians, we can sometimes take our seat with the scornful. We need to be careful how we talk about the bride of Christ, the word of God, God Himself. We need to be careful how we speak about holy things. Blessed is the man who avoids these things. There's a path, there's a counsel, there is a seat for you. Make sure that you're not taking your place among those things. Which way are you going to go? As he further describes true blessedness, what does a blessed man look like? It's not just what he avoids, but it's also what he does. The Bible gives you a negative and a positive. He avoids these things, but then look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, and the Hebrew word there, by the way, is Torah. You might have heard that word before used. It's the word that is characteristically depicts the law of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy, but it can also be used to describe all of God's revelation. His delight is in the Torah, in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What causes a man to be blessed? What he loves. What do you love? I mean, what do you really love? It's worth thinking about that question because the Bible says, listen carefully, the only way you will find true blessedness is if you choose and decide that you are going to love God and His Word supremely. There really is no other path. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates. The word delight has to do with somebody that loves the Word of God. It's not just something we tolerate. It's not just something we put up with. It's not just something we begrudgingly give ourselves to, but we love to hear God's word. We love to receive it into our lives. Job 23:12, your word I've treasured more than my necessary food. Esther 2, verse 14, the word delight is used there to describe a woman and her love for a man. And the idea is something like this. When we think about what it means to delight in the law of the Lord, the idea is we feel about God and about God's word the way that someone in a new romance might feel about that special someone, that significant other. There's delight there. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, verse 97. So somebody who is blessed is somebody who loves the word of God. But not only that, he listens to the word of God. He's finding ways constantly to get more of God's word into his ears, into his heart, into his life. He listens to it. He receives it not as the word of men, but as it truly is, the word of God, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Someone who is blessed is someone who learns from the word of God. I want to tell you something tonight. No matter how long you've been a Christian and no matter how long you've been studying the Bible, you still have some things you need to learn. You still have some areas in which you need to grow and to become more like Jesus. And somebody who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates in it day and night appreciates that principle. I still have things I need to learn from God's word. Jesus invites people. We just sang the song, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus wants us to learn from him as we respond to his word. You have not so learned Christ, Ephesians 4, verse 20. A blessed man is someone who learns from the word of God, and a blessed man is someone who lives by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Which way will you go? A blessed man is marked by what he avoids. He doesn't walk in the counsel and the path of the ungodly, but rather he loves and embraces and clings to God and his word. That's what it means to be blessed. Can I say one more thing before I leave this point? If you do not choose to love God's word, if you do not choose to delight in it and to meditate on it and to embrace it in your life, if you don't make that choice, there is only one other option as far as this psalm is concerned. Do you see that? There's only one other option. There's not some other good path and good way to live your life according to this psalm. You either decide you're going to avoid the wicked and you're going to embrace that which is from God. You either decide you're going to do that, or the alternative is you're in verse 1 and you're camped out there. You're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, because what other counsel do you have if you reject God's word? You're standing in the path of sinners, because where else are you going to stand if you reject God and his word? You are sitting in the seat of the scornful, because what other seat is available to you if you reject God and his word? There are only two options. Which way will you go? Look at verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 1. Notice that now we turn to poetry. And for those of you that remember elementary school and learning about similes and metaphors, a simile is a phrase that uses like or as, remember? And if you look at verse 3, the blessed man shall be, look at verse 3 very carefully in your Bible, he shall be like a tree. And then look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff, which the wind blows away. Do you see that? So the godly man, he is like a tree. The ungodly, the wicked, are like the chaff. What are we looking at in verses 3 and 4? We're looking at an illustration of true blessedness. God's telling us what it looks like to be truly blessed. And he says in the first place that a righteous man, a godly man, a blessed man is like a tree. In what sense is that true? He explains for us in verse 3, he is planted by rivers of water. That indicates to us stability. He's planted in a good place, in a place where there's constant nourishing. I've been studying a little bit Colossians in my own private study, and I was fascinated as I was preparing this lesson how often phrases and verses from Colossians correspond to what we're reading in Psalm 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul wanted his brethren, he says, I want you to continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you've heard. I want you to be steady, strong, rooted, stable. That's what God wants for his people. God and his word will cause that to happen in our lives. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. There is depth to this man. He has roots. Again, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. God wants us to be rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith. God doesn't want us to be like the chaff that gets blown all over the place. Every time a little dust of wind comes up, God doesn't want us to be blown off of our course. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to be rooted. That's what his word accomplishes. That's what the psalmist is saying. Delighting in his word, meditating, ruminating, thinking about his word constantly. That's what this produces. But not only that. As you continue in verse 3, planted by rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in its season. And there's Colossians 1 verse 10. God wants Christians to bear fruit in every good work and to increase in the knowledge of God. And then as you look at verse 3, endurance. His leaf shall not wither. All he does shall prosper. Even when times get tough, even when difficulties arise, a man who is rooted in God and in his word is blessed because he's been strengthened by God for endurance and patience with joy. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. That's how the Bible describes a blessed man in verse 3. But then, the alternative to that in verse 4, the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are like the chaff that the wind drives away. In ancient times, when they would thresh the grain, they would have the husks, the chaff, the part of the grain that's not edible and not useful for anything. And often what they would do is they would take their pitchforks and they would go into a pile of wheat and they would throw the wheat up in the air. And when the wheat went up in the air, what would happen is the wind would blow away the chaff. The chaff would be filtered out. And then the grain that was heavier, too heavy to be blown by the wind, the grain would fall back into the pile. And that's what it's illustrating for us. And the Bible says, if you decide that you're going to avoid God's word, you're not going to embrace it, you're not going to live by it, that you are going to be like the chaff. The chaff that the wind drives away. What is characteristic of chaff? Chaff is weightless. Chaff is rootless. It is unfruitful. It is temporary. People want their lives to matter. They want their lives to be significant. Psalm 1 is telling you that real significance is found in a relationship with God through his word. That's what matters. What really matters is not what the world says about us at our funeral. What really matters is what God says about us at judgment. Will he say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? That's a man who's been like a tree, not like the chaff that the wind drives away. In the book of Jude, Jude talks about false teachers this way. And listen to how similar Jude's idea is to Psalm 1 verse 4. In Jude verses 12 and 13, Jude speaks about these false teachers. And listen to what he says. He says, these are hidden reefs at your love feast. They feast with you without fear. They are shepherds feeding themselves. Now listen. He says, these people, these false teachers among you, they are waterless clouds swept along by the winds. I thought it might rain this afternoon. How about you? Got kind of a dark cloud over my house. It was a waterless cloud. I'm really disappointed. Have to run the sprinklers tomorrow. Waterless clouds. That's what these people are like. They are fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. That's a person who will not delight in the law of the Lord and will not live by the word of God. Weightless, rootless, unfruitful. Which way will you go? What will you choose with your life? Third, as you look at Psalm 1, look at verses 5 and 6, notice the conclusion of true blessedness. The way the psalm concludes, if you look at verse 5, I believe every major English translation begins with a word something akin to therefore. You see that in verse 5? So what's he done? He's talked to you about what a blessed man is like. A blessed man is known by what he avoids and by what he pursues. And then he talks about the contrast between a blessed man, who's like a tree, and a wicked man, who's like the chaff. And now he's going to give you his conclusion in verse 5. Therefore, based on everything that's just been said and argued, therefore, here's what you need to hear. That's what's being done in verses 5 and 6. So, watch. There are three unchanging realities in view as you look at verses 5 and 6. Three unchanging realities. Reality number one is this: God's judgment is coming. Therefore, the ungodly will not stand in the judgment. You see it? You won't have a leg to stand on when judgment day comes. If you don't embrace God and his word, if you don't submit to Jesus Christ and his will for your life, you will not stand in the judgment. Paul preached something similar to this in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, when he said that God has appointed a day when he will judge the world in righteousness by the man he's appointed. He's given assurance of this day to all by raising him from the dead. There's a great day coming. Which way will you choose? Second reality is the identity of God's people. Folks, God has a people who belong to him. God is the one who decided who belongs to him and who does not. You and I don't decide who does and does not belong to God. We don't decide who is and is not our brother. That's not the way it works. God is the one who decides that. God is the one who gives the plan. It's our job, it's our task to submit to his plan. And notice what Psalm chapter 1, verse 5 says. The ungodly will not stand in the congregation of the righteous, the assembly of the righteous. They will not be counted among the people who belong to God. Titus 2, verse 14 speaks about how Jesus died so that he might ransom for himself a peculiar people, a special people, furnished for good works. And then notice reality number three. The identity of God's people is number two. Reality number three is the uniqueness of God's way. It says in verse 6, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." What does it mean that the Lord knows the way of the righteous? It doesn't just mean that he intellectually, like, you know, you ask God, which way is the way of the righteous? And he could tell you, yeah, there it is. When it says the Lord knows the way of the righteous, what it means, this is the way that he has created. This is the path that he has planned out. This is the way, the narrow way that leads to eternal life, Matthew 7, 13 through 14. This is God's way. And Jesus is the way that God has prepared for us. John 14, 6, Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." God knows the way of the righteous because it's the way he planned, it's the way he prepared, and it's the way he offers to you and to me. There is no other way but his way. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 1 is making an argument, and it's asking you the question, which way will you go? What are you going to do with your life? How are you going to choose to live? Because there's only one way that brings true blessedness. I'm thankful for God's word. I'm thankful for the instruction it gives our lives. And I'm thankful that it speaks so plainly about what it really means to be blessed. I hope this will be beneficial to you as you think about your life and your goals and what you're trying to aim for. Maybe you're here tonight, you're not a Christian, and you've decided that you want to choose Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Come to him, submit to his will, be baptized for the remission of your sins. If we can help you do that, if we can help you to respond to heaven's invitation in any other way, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?